to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But I want to thank my friends for coming tonight. I appreciate you. And they're a blessing being here tonight. And I appreciate that very, very much. You know, I knew a guy that had a friend. He was called a flat earth friend. And a guy asked him, he says, what's the deal with him? He says, oh, he's telling me the earth was flat. Then he told me one day, and he'd be back if he proved it. The other guy asked him, well, what happened? Oh, he came around. Okay, you'll get that. But I want you to know, these are solid men back here. They're not like that guy's flat earth friends. So I appreciate you. I'm going to try to encourage you tonight, to encourage people with the message I've got. I want to tell you a story. It's 1990. I was at Shaw Air Force Base. I was called into a room. I entered the door. There was a very important full colonel back there. I went to talk to him, and he says, young man, you're going to Desert Storm. You're going to be in charge of the X-ray department. You have a couple people working for you. And right then, as soon as he said that, as soon as I heard those words, I really didn't hear much after that. All I was thinking is, I got to leave my precious wife and my three kids who are under 10 years old. That's all I was thinking about and swallowing hard. And then he told me, he made it worse, you're going to be the first ones in and the last ones to come home. See, the air transportable hospital that we were going to be in has to be in place before the soldiers show up, before the planes show up, before anything shows up. And remember him telling us, you're going to be there with every kind of person there, doctors and dentists. Anything you can name is going to be there. Chaplains, ready for those soldiers when they come and while they're fighting. He says, you're going to be there to help them. He says, you're going to be there to comfort them. And you're going to be there to send them back into the war. And so I was thinking about that. We are in a spiritual warfare. A spiritual warfare. And the pastor will tell you, I'll tell you, and anybody that's been in the ministry long enough, when you're in a spiritual warfare, unfortunately, Christians fall. They fall. And it hurts. And it's hurt me a lot to see friends that I loved and cared about quit on the Lord. But it's a tough job and it's a tough work. And I've heard the men that have been preaching here over the weeks that the pastor's allowed, and thank you again for letting me get the rust off, Pastor. They've been talking about how bad things are. And all the turmoil that's going on in the world, and how it looks like it's going to get worse. But if there's going to be a battle, and if we're going to win it, then as Christians, and I'm talking to you who are here today, of course, we've got to learn how to comfort people. We need to see the importance of comforting people. There are people in here, I could just call your names out. You always are with somebody, and it seems like you're always trying to encourage them. Now, people with the gift of helps and the gift of mercy and all that, you're good at those things if you're practicing your gift. But I'm talking about the people that just come and they sit in their seats and they don't talk to anybody, or they wait for someone over to come over and talk to them, and I'm not getting on anybody. But come to church, please, with the idea to worship God first, and preaching is king here and music's queen, but come here with the idea of comforting and helping others. Amen. Don't be so involved in your own life that you're not looking at people and you're not there to encourage and help them. Get out of your little circles and help others that are in the church. Have a love and a passion for people because they're hurting. And when they are hurting and when they do fall, don't criticize them. Pray for them. Go to help them. The pastor is very good at helping people when they have a need. And so that's what this is all about today. And when I was studying and reading, I just saw some interesting things. And one of them was this: if sometimes the best way to help someone is just to be near them. Men, you're going to understand what I'm trying to say. When my wife was hurting when we were married, I'd come in there and I'd tell her how she could solve her problem. And she'd look at me, don't solve my problem, just listen to me. And that's what she wants. That's what she wants. She wants you to listen to her and comfort her. Don't give her solutions. I am an alpha male in disguise, maybe. Maybe not. But I try not to solve everyone's problems when they have them. I would like to, but I'm probably not very good at that anymore anyway. But the second thing I saw is when someone is crying, of course, it's a noble thing to go up and comfort them. Can I say this, though? When they're wiping away the tears, it's probably a more important thing to just ignore those and be with them. And the third thing, I think this was me, and this was just off book when this person was writing. It said, the tiger needs three things to be comfortable. Lots of food, sleep, and forget the third one. He just needs the two. And I'm that guy. If I get enough food and I get a good night's rest, I am a very comfortable person. Very comfortable person. So I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me start over. Blessed be God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now I want you to turn over to Ephesians, if you would. Ephesians, turn to your right. Towards Ephesians, chapter 6. Look at verse 22 with me. It says, Paul saying this, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that ye might comfort your, that he may comfort your hearts. He's talking about Tychicus there. He's sending a brother in Christ to tell them what's going on in the Lord so that they can be comforted, so they can be comforted. It's important that we get involved in the comforting business in the ministry. We're going to need it as we battle from here on out until eternity. Turn to Psalm 119 in the book of Psalms, verse 76. It says, let, I pray thee, thy mercy, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. We need to be in the comforting business. I'll tell you a story of a man named Billy Brown. Billy Brown lived in Illinois. It was during the Civil War. Billy Brown was a friend of Abraham Lincoln. Billy Brown decided, one day, I'm going to go visit my friend in the White House. So he traveled all the way there. Now, they didn't have cars. They didn't have planes. So you know he had a little bit of a jaunt going to see the president. When Billy Brown arrived at the White House, he went up and he knocked on the door. Now, let me just tell you something. You can't do that today, okay? Me and my family have toured the White House, and it took everybody we knew and everything to get in there and to go and visit the White House, which was pretty nice. Mr. Bush was in there at the time. But it was a good visit. But anyway, Billy Brown went over and knocked on the door, and an aide came to the door, opened up the door and said, sir, may I help you? And Billy Brown looked at him and said, I want to see the President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. He says, do you have an appointment? He says, no, I don't need an appointment. You just tell him Billy Brown is here. Well, it says in the story that I read that he rolled his eyes and closed the door. And a few minutes later, Abraham Lincoln opened the door. And when he saw Billy Brown, ran out and gave him a big old hug. And then Abraham Lincoln told him, he says, listen, I'm right in the middle of a very important meeting. It's only going to be 4 to 8 minutes, but I've got to go back and finish this meeting. Will you please stay here? He didn't know if he'd stay or not. You stay here? He said, sure, I'll stay here. So, you know, time passed, and the president came out. And him and Billy Brown got together, and they talked for hours and hours, it says. And it was so good to see Billy Brown, but the president then got real. He said, Billy Brown, it's been great talking to you, but did you come here to give me some advice? Did you come here because you don't like something I'm doing? Did you come here to, you have a need? And Billy Brown looked at him and says, I only came here to see you as my friend. I don't want anything from you. I don't want anything. And the president started to cry. And while he was crying, he says, Billy, I'm seeing women cry when their kids get killed. I'm wondering if the war will ever end. And he just spilled his guts to Billy Brown. And then he gave him a hug and he said, I am so glad that you're here today. I'm getting through this day simply because you are here. And you never know, folks, when you are going to say the right thing to someone just to get them through their day, just to get them through their week. You never know when they're what they're thinking. And it's important that we learn to comfort people. God doesn't comfort us, by the way, to make us comfortable, but he comforts us so that we can comfort others. We may never know how many times God has sent someone to us to comfort us. I've had through my whole life people say, it seems like just the right thing, just the right enough thing to make me feel better, to make me go on, to make me move on. I remember all the time I was stuck. Every time we had prayer meeting when I first really got started in the ministry, and I'd be with the men of the church and we'd be praying, and every time we'd get ready to pray, I'd say, please pray for my mom and dad to get saved, my brothers, and I'd name them off, pray for them. And I did it so many times, the pastor finally came up to me and he told me, he says, Jeff, there are other people in the world that need salvation. And that kind of shook me up. And I realized the only thing I was concerned with was them, and I was browbeating my family to where they probably didn't even want to listen to me. But folks, we don't want to get stuck. We want to be able to comfort others, other than just our family members, other than just our friends, but people in general, people in general. Words of comfort, proficiently administered, are the best and oldest therapy known to man. Now, I want to look at three things this evening. First of all, Psalm 71:21. You can turn there if you like, but I'll just read it to you. It's a short verse. It says, Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. This was David right now with a heavy heart. His enemies were all around him, and his son was not living for God. He was in rebellion. I don't know about you, but I've experienced this. Other people have experienced it. The worst feeling in the world, to me, is when you're trying to get through life and you're trying to live for the Lord and you're serving God and one of your children are out of the will of God. It's a burden. It's a burden. You want them to have the same joy that you're having being a Christian, living for the Lord, but they're out of the will of God. It hurts. And here's David, surrounded by his enemies, son not living for the Lord, or not serving God, in rebellion. And David says, Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. However, I just want you to know, David loved God and was comforted by the fact that God could restore his kingdom. He put his trust and faith in God. In God. I think as soon as we have any problem in life, the first thing we should do is take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. If we could just get that in our mind. Now, I'm not saying if you're upstairs and the water breaks, go in the room and pray for it while the water, squirts all over the house. Turn it off or something, get it fixed or something. But then pray to the Lord. If we've got money or if we've got skill, many times we don't even include God in it. We'll just take care of it. But I think we ought to take everything to the Lord in prayer. Everything. Remember this word tonight, if you will, when you go home, comfortable, comfortable. It's so important that we give comfort to our brothers and sisters in Christ. There were two sisters. They inherited a farm a long time ago. They had cattle. And unfortunately, their bull died. They needed another bull. And they only had $500 they figured out of their budget to get another bull. One sister was a little slower than the other. So the sister that was more on top of things and took care of all the bills and things, she said, told her other sister, listen, I'm going to town to look for a bull. When I get there, I'll telegraph you. When I telegraph you, bring the truck and the trailer and come and get me. And she said, okay. So she went into town. She found a bull. She had $500. It was $499. She bought the bull, stud bull, happy about it. She went over to the telegraph office to pay for it, or to send her sister a telegram, got in there, and she said, I need to send my sister a message. I need her to come get me. I need to come get this bull I bought. I said, I've got a dollar. Can we send that message? He says, oh, lady, I hate to tell you this. You can only send one word. One word for a dollar. She says, one word? She says, give me just a minute. She's thought about it for a minute. So she went over and told him her story. It said, I want you to send this word. He said, what's this word that you want me to send? The word comfortable. Comfortable. He says, how's that going to get her to come pick you up? She's really, really, really slow, my sister. When she hears that, she's going to read it. Comfortable. Okay? I hope that helps you remember the word comfortable. Okay? God is the giver of comfort. Swedish hymnist Linda Sandelberg, you that are in music might have heard of her, served with her father in the evangelical ministry. Well, one day they were on a boat and he fell over and he drowned. And she wrote a song that we sing all the time. A song that I'm going to give you some of the words here. And it's probably sung every day, I won't say every day, but in every, somewhere in the world on Sundays, every single day. And I was thinking how amazing that was, that her contribution, not only what she did in the ministry, but by writing this song, is singing in good, solid churches. It goes, day by day and without each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. God brings comfort. God brings comfort. The second thing I want you to see, Christ's words are a source of comfort. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And look at verses 20 through 22 with me, please. It says, and behold, a woman which was deceased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. This is a story of someone who had an issue of blood, was uncomfortable for 12 years physically. 12 years. I'm telling you, if I get sick and it lasts longer than 2 days, I'm a miserable man. And I don't like it. But here's somebody that was miserable for 12 years. And the Lord, and she, all she believed was, is if I could touch his hem, I could be healed. She believed that he was the Son of God, that he was God. And she touched his hem, she was made whole. Now the word whole usually means, when it's used, means salvation. But two things happened here. I love the first word Jesus said to her. He called her daughter. Man, that's just saying, hey, you're part of the family of God now. You're part of the family of God. Your faith has made you a part of the family of God. And then, of course, she was cured of her disease. What wonderful faith. What wonderful story. But my thing is Jesus Christ can do anything that he says. Anything that he says. This woman had good reason to be comforted because of what Christ did and because Christ could back it up. He could back it up. Do you have the faith to believe that Jesus can do what he says? If you do, and if you believe his word, then be willing to comfort people like he did. You know, there was a plane flying through the air, four engines plane, and one of the engines was turned off because the pilot had seen a problem with the engine. And the people in the plane looked and noticed it and stuff, and there seemed to be a little bit of panic, and then the pilot got on there and says, "Don't worry. Don't worry. The three engines we've got can get us where we're going." And he says, on top of that, we got four pastors in the church. Pastors on the plane, I mean. Well, there was mumbling. There was mumbling going on. And one of the pastors was wondering what were they talking about. And then finally, he got told they were wanting the stewardesses to go up front and relay a message to that pilot. And that message was, we would rather have four engines and three pastors. Okay? Now, people put their faith in a lot of things. Here, they're putting their faith in the engines. Some people put their faith in the pastors. Some people put their faith in a lot of different things. But Jesus is the one we're supposed to put our faith in. And we're supposed to believe that what he says, he can do. I like what Jesus said in John 14:16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you a comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit of God. You know, you can't explain the Holy Spirit of God to people that don't know him. They don't understand what's in you. They don't understand the conviction you have. They don't understand your desire to want to serve somebody they can't see. Now, in the scripture we just read, it says, I don't even know if I even read that with you. Hold on one second. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Oh, sorry. I did get ahead of myself. I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:11. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." I like what Mark Twain said. Mark Twain said, "I can go 2 months on a good compliment." We need to read. That's good to remember. I like that. Now, in the scripture we just read, it says, "And edify one another." We are to strive to build each other up and to establish each other in the faith. One of my older brothers, not the oldest, but the second oldest, he died. You guys probably might have remembered I had to leave for that funeral, but he died, and I went up north to the funeral and was listening to the pastor, and he was up here on the pulpit talking about Bobby and talking about the Lord and talking about salvation and everything. And he says the one thing that he almost broke down talking about was how when he finished a message, and maybe he had something to do or somebody came up and talked to him or anything else, but he said, "My brother, every service that he was ever in, would stand down here and patiently wait for the pastor. And then when he'd come down, he'd put his hand behind his back here." And he just says, "I remember his hand being like this." And he'd stick his hand out like this and say, "Thanks for the word, pastor." And he said it every time and did it every time the pastor preached. And the pastor says, "He'll never know how much that meant to me." He probably does now, know that he's in heaven. But he'll never know how much that meant to him. And he was almost breaking down. Folks, you'll never know how much you mean to people when you try to comfort them. They may not have anything going on. It's just a matter of just saying hello. "Hey, man, what's going on with you?" And this kind of thing. Just to let them know they're part of the church family and that you love them. And by the way, a value of a good word or act is comforting to someone. Look down at 1 Thessalonians 5:14. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. The word feeble-minded are believers that are in despair, disheartened, and downcast. Let me just say, it doesn't take much for us to get like that. We're not even in a war like Ukraine, but it doesn't take a lot for us as Christians to have pity parties and to feel like the world's caving in on them and stuff when you're trying to serve God sometimes. And nobody said anything to you or tried to encourage you or even likes to think you're there. You just feel like you're in a war all by yourself. Sometimes it doesn't take much for you to get down. Those people over in Ukraine are in despair. But the thing is, they're in a physical war and we're in a spiritual war, and we forget the devil knows how to get to us. He knows our weaknesses. Even though we are doing what we can for the Lord, feelings of despair can pop up in our lives. Now, I'm not just talking about Christians you might consider weak. I'm talking about the pastor. I'm talking about deacons. I'm talking about people that serve all the time. The devil can get us. And if you're not looking at your friends and learning about your friends, you're probably going to never realize when they come to church that their countenance might be a little different than normal. But if we just encourage each other collectively, that is a good thing to do. But we need to really, really encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's despair over friends and family. We can get disheartened over results, no church growth, no one being saved, or saints giving up the ministry. I know this. I'm just going to be honest with you. Since I retired from the sheriff's office about a year or so ago, I have not had the privilege of leading anybody to the Lord. And it's discouraging to me. I did while I was in the sheriff's office. It's discouraging. Talking to people, telling them, inviting them to church, not wanting to come, not wanting to trust God, looking at you with glazed eyes, like, what are you talking about? It's discouraging. But the thing is, we got to keep on going. It's the work of the Lord. And just like when I got saved and the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, it was easy after this man asked me to go forward. It was easy for me to go forward and trust Christ. And that burden went away, and I know I've been saved ever since. I've been to doors and knocked on doors, and I was going there to talk to a man's wife because she asked me to come there and talk to her about salvation, and I ended up talking to this big guy, rugged-looking dude, and my deacon was with me, and we were just sitting there talking about the Lord, and he almost had tears. You know how I got him to trust God? I said, sir, I got to ask you a question while you're here. Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And he just kind of hemmed and hawed. And I said, sir, let me ask you a question. You've got a nice truck out there. What you got under the hood? Tell me about your truck. He says, you can describe your truck. You can tell me everything about that truck. But you can't tell me why you have eternal life. If somebody gave me eternal life and I was going to live forever because of it, I'd never forget that. And he says, you're right. And he started crying. I didn't ask him to cry. I said, can I come in on your couch and show you how to get saved? He went in that couch, it was full of newspapers and stuff. He just took it with his giant old hands and just threw it all over to the side. My deacon, Roger, he went over there and started praying. I opened up the scripture, showed him how to be saved. And he cried, and I said, sir, you want to trust Christ, your personal Savior? You saved Christ, right? Got trusted Christ right there on the spot. I didn't do a thing. The Holy Spirit had him ready, and it did everything. And if you've never been drawn by the Holy Spirit to receive Jesus Christ, you better check your salvation, because I know what it's like to have the tug of the Holy Spirit on a heart and knowing God saying, hey, get saved. You can have a head knowledge, but that'll still send you to hell. But if you have a heart knowledge, a heart that desires to live for him, well, you can rest assured Jesus has saved you. He saved you. We need each other. We need to comfort each by the very thought, deed, word, kind word, a visit, a phone call, a helping hand. And maybe someone just needs money and we need to help them. We need to think about that. Isaiah 41 says, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Now this Isaiah 41 is interesting. Israel had turned their back on God and Jesus, the Messiah. And because of that, they received a double portion of grief. One of those griefs was the captivity of Babylon. And can I tell you, they have been grieving ever since they refused Jesus Christ, to trust Christ as their personal Savior. And then one day, they are going to get everything that God promised them. But because of their turning their backs on the Lord, they're not. Can I say this? Christians, don't turn your backs on your brothers and sisters in Christ. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Stay faithful to the Lord. Don't quit on the Lord. And I'm almost done here. A man told his friend, you know what? I started driving on the other side of the road. Not only was I uncomfortable, so was everybody else. Now, God just wants the opposite from us. Now, I want to encourage you to be a comforter to the saints around you as we serve the Lord. I can't tell you how important that is, serving and helping others. I love it because of I see things, see people's countenances. I see people that do care about others, and I see people that I don't know. I don't always act on what I see, but I'm just saying, everybody here tonight, you came on Sunday night. You just didn't come Sunday morning. You have got to be those people that comfort others in this ministry. We're in a war, a spiritual war. Think about your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Like I said it earlier, get away from just the crowd that you hang around sometimes and go over and say, you know what, I'm going to go check on that person. I'm going to learn that person's name. I want to know what's going on. And just be a blessing to them. Please, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for saving me and allowing me in this war, this spiritual war that can't be seen with eyes. I thank you for my salvation. And Lord, I want to live for you and serve you. And God, it says in the Scriptures, you comfort people. It says the words of God comfort people. And it even tells saints to comfort each other. Help us to think about that while we're in this war. Help us to not look at ourselves when we come in here, but to look at Jesus Christ, worship Him, serve Him, and then, Lord, edify and comfort our brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't want anybody to fall. We don't want anybody to leave. We don't want anybody to quit. And maybe they won't if we just encourage each other and comfort each other. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.